Hey guys, discussion number three. Okay, first question. What makes the setting unique or important? And could the story have taken place anywhere else? So, I think what makes it important is because it shows how, like, the little people, so, like, the citizens and, like, how the little towns are involved. So a lot of what you hear about, like, war and the places, like, places that World War II took place, like, there's all information stuff, but you don't hear about, like, the little towns in Paris and the little towns in Germany that aren't really in history. And so I think that gives us, like, a bigger picture of what it really, how it affected everyone in society. And it kind of also, it kind of shows two contrasting sides, because one is about a girl who lives in Paris in a little country and how she's affected, and then a guy who lives in Germany, and it shows just how the Nazi side versus just the citizen side shows, and shows the contract and like the fighting and internal war.
So for my book, it's the setting starts off in Germany, where the Nazis and the Jews are going up against each other with Hitler and all that stuff. And it could have took place in anywhere, but it took place in Germany and stuff.
In my book, I think that if the story had taken place, like, not on the Western Front and, for example, on the Eastern Front, it would have been a lot different, because war on the Eastern Front wasn't, like, fought in the trenches as much as war on the Western Front was. And a lot of the story, like, a lot of where the soldiers make their, like, emotional connections happens in the trenches, because that's where they feel, like, closest and most, like, vulnerable. So that definitely affects, like, the way that the story goes.
Yeah, and I feel like your entire book's really about the trenches. That's, like, kind of the main point. So it'd be, like, a totally different book if it didn't take place
there. Exactly. So I think that, like, the setting does make a difference. It, like, definitely impacted the way that the story flowed.
For my book, it's taking place in Auschwitz, the hottest spot for Jews to die. And since, like, 6 million Jews died in World War II, Auschwitz was responsible for 1/6 of it. So this is, like, you know, the heat of everything. But if it was taking place of something in, like, Dachau, where political prisoners were taken, then maybe the characters would be treated less, more leniently, less harsh. Or if it was taking place in, like, Bergen, Flossenburg, maybe a different outcome might be given to the character's parents or himself.
Yeah, I feel like it shows, like, the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
Okay, so second question. So what words or lines have hidden meanings in the story? So there's this character, and his name's Frederick. He's at the, like, boot camp for becoming a soldier with the character Werner. They're, like, best friends. And so one of the quotes he has is, he's really obsessed with birds. He just, like, loves birds, and, like, that's all he wants to do is be a bird watcher, but he's fighting the war instead. But a quote he said is, 10,000 years ago, whispers Frederick, they came through here in the millions. When this place was a garden, one endless garden from end to end. And so, like, yes, he's talking about birds, like birds, but I think there's a hidden meaning that he's actually talking about his home before the war. So he lives in Berlin, and it's a really nice place. And it was kind of like, the way he would describe it was, like, nothing bad ever happened there until the war. And he had a nice family, he got everything he wanted. And I also think that it's kind of making reference to, like, the Jews in a way, like, about how 10,000 years ago they came through here, and, like, how when Jews came through here before the war and before all this, like, there's always been anti-Semitism in society, like, since, like, the Bible times. But I think that there was a point of peace, like a calm before the storm, where they were, like, could come do what they want and stuff, and no one really discriminated them anymore. And then I think that,
like, villainized.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they were, like, always the villain, and then they were fine. But then I think World War II brought that anti-Semitic behavior that was once before out, and then it just exploded. Yeah.
So the hidden meaning in my book is when Bruno's mother was talking about why they invite the Fuhrer, aka the leader, like Hitler, invited him to dinner, why they shouldn't, because it's not, like, typical, because Hitler's, like, one of those guys who kills Jews and all that stuff. Instead, it's not typical for someone like him to show up at their house. And yeah.
In my story, there's a point where Paul gets moved and he's no longer like fighting with the people that he's been fighting with, and he observes like what he refers to as like the enemies, so, like the Russian soldiers, and the way that he describes them is very like, it's very odd. So like the sentence is, it is strange to see these enemies up close. They have broad faces, broad foreheads, broad noses, broad mouths, broad hands, and thick hair. So it's kind of like the way that he describes them is very like normal. Like he looks at them and he's like, they're just people, and not in a way that it's like they've been told that like they're the enemy and that they're like horrible people. And like, it's kind of, it shows that like how, to like what extent propaganda has gone to like make an effect on people's minds, and kind of how you describe like they were like villainizing Jews. They really like villainized the enemy and like made them seem as though they were like these disgusting like monsters. And when he describes that they're just like normal people, and he says like they have broad faces, broad foreheads, like he's just saying that they're regular people, and that everything he's told has kind of been like a lie, like about why he's like fighting.
Mm-hmm. It's like they're all just kind of shapes kind of thing. Like that's what I see when you say like broad and broad. Mm-hmm. Just like, it seems like he just sees them all as just like a shape, you know?
Yeah.
No specifics, no like scar or anything like that.
Very just like normal.
Exactly, yeah.
From my book, there was this scene where the air raid siren was triggered. So every German was removed from the outpost and put on the front line. But all the Jews had to like stand out in the rain, sloppy or like muddy rain. And they saw these two cauldrons of hot steaming soup out unguarded, unwatched, but they all had the same thought. They wanted to, you know, just finish and drink the whole cauldron of soup, but if someone found out, they would be ratted out and taken by the Germans or killed. So while this is happening, this one kid, this one small Jew kid, went towards the cauldron and decided to drink it. While everyone on the coast had to like watch this kid drink it, and they're drooling thinking about the soup because of how hungry they were. And once the kid finished one of the cauldrons, he was later ratted out by the Germans and killed. And later that night, when the Jews had their soup, they all thought of how great the soup tasted, because they were craving the soup. They wanted the soup so badly because it was unguarded, unwatched, and it just seemed more tempting as soon as they continued looking at it. And another scene involving soup again, three people were about to be executed, and 10,000 Jews had to watch these three people get executed. Two were hung, and one kid, since he was so weak, he was hanging, still breathing, after the chair was kicked over. He was struggling for life, and as the main character thought, this is like the worst thing the Germans could ever do to like a kid. And later that night, when he had the soup, he thought his soup tasted like dead corpses. Not saying because it was literally dead corpses, no, but of how like
the mindset of like
yeah,
with the soup.
It's like the soup kind of like represents
like
it
like,
symbolizes like their kind of like their emotion and like their will to like get out, you know, like
how they felt for the kid.
To me, it like kind of like it represented like the out life, like the outside life outside the camp.
Yeah,
as soon as they saw what happened inside it, the outside wasn't so appealing anymore.
And kind of like, I feel like it tainted, for lack of a better word, it kind of symbolizes like the wall between like the camp and like their outside world.
Yeah.
And like that's kind of interesting.
Okay, so next, third question. So far in the novel, what is the author saying about war? Find proof in the book to support this. So a lot of a theme that the my author has, which is kind of weird because it's two storylines, but they haven't yet converged. But yet, what he keeps saying about war is that war has like gives connections. And so like, for instance, like it literally connects two characters and their storylines together. Like there's a character from one storyline that will kind of meet in the next storyline.
Okay. Like so, their paths come across.
Yeah, so it's like the literal thing. But it also, there's like little scenes and little characters that show different kinds of connections. So Marie's uncle, Etienne, he doesn't leave the house at all. Like he was in the first war, and so he's really bad PTSD. And especially because the second war is happening, it's getting worse. But he doesn't leave the house, but he connects to the world through a radio that he has in his attic. And so his brother used to do broadcasts, and those broadcasts were heard by the other character, Werner, and Werner loved those broadcasts. He'd stay up all night listening to them, listening to the Etienne's brother talk about science and talk about the world. And so it was that, how that connected. And then it Marie, during this war now, when her town, St. Marlo, something like that, is getting bombed and getting this attack, she's also stuck in that attic, and then she uses the exact same radio that her uncle's brother, I guess, maybe that is her uncle, would use, and she broadcast it to the world. So she was talking to other people, like she was just talking. No one was answering, of course, but she was doing her own broadcast, and she was connecting to different parts of the world. She was giving reassurance to people as well, like, you know, it'll be okay, like, everything's fine. And then, so some proof was a quote I got. But I wasn't trying to reach England or Paris. I thought that if I made the broadcast powerful enough, my brother would hear me, that I could bring him some peace, protect him as he always protected me. So this is Marie's uncle Etienne talking about using the radio to try to contact his dead brother, because his brother's dead. And so he was trying to find a way to connect to him and his passed away brother, because they were so close and stuff. And then, yeah.
It's kind of like how everything came like full circle.
Exactly. Like everything kind of relates back to the radio, and then the radio kind of connects to everyone.
Yeah. That's interesting.
So in my book, the author's saying about war is because of the Jews and the Nazis working, fighting against each other. Since Bruno's like the father of someone in the war who's like with the Nazi, he met this kid named, I think it's Sumo or something. He met this kid who's on the opposing side, like the Jew side, from like, and then towards the book, they became big friends. So the author's like saying, just because war is going on doesn't mean Jews and Nazis couldn't be together and stuff.
That's kind of nice. That's a like nice different perspective than like the rest of our books and stuff, like showing that.
Kind of like, gives like hope to like society.
It's a kid's perspective. Yeah, it's a kid's perspective. They don't understand conflict, and they don't understand why we hate the Jews, which was kind of stupid if you do think about why they hate the Jews and stuff.
And I think it's also just because, like they're not thinking about politics, but I think it's also to show like what like a future generation, like the impact of like a next generation can do, and like if they can move past it, then like why can't everyone else? Like,
exactly.
In my book, the author really uses like vivid imagery to like explain like the horrors of war. So like when like one of the examples I found was like when he describes like a man's like head being blown off and how like his blood like spurts from his head like a fountain. Like, it's really, really vivid, like, the way that he describes it. And he's not attempting to, like, lessen the horrifying experiences that these, like, that the soldiers
experience. He's trying to give you the full experience of what war is actually like through a
and
book.
It's, like, you can't explain it in words, but he's trying his best because, like, obviously you can't understand unless you've experienced it like these men have. But he's trying to show it to the best of his ability, like, to show what the soldiers have really endured and, like, what they went through in wartime. So I think the vivid imagery is like really makes a statement in the way that he explains it.
I think in my book, it's not much about war, but mostly about, you know, the Holocaust. But Ellie does keep saying that he hopes for the war to come to an end. So like he hopes for the Eastern Front, the Russians, to invade Hungary or Poland faster in order to liberate the camps. Yeah. All I gotta say, it's mine.
Okay, so I'll go on to the next question. Four. So, how do your own personal values alter the perception of the characters' experiences in your novel? So, like, the way I answered this was that my own experiences and stuff makes me relate to more of one character, and it makes me more interested in the storyline. So, like, when I'm reading, I'm always excited for the character of Marie's story. I'm like, what's she gonna do next? What happens next? Rather than Werner's. And I think this is because a lot of Marie's isn't about the war, it's about her internal struggle and like how the war affects that. And a lot of her internal struggle of just being scared all the time, not really understanding things and, you know, trying to fully grasp what's going on. I think that I relate to that more and I relate to her more. And so I, my own personal experiences and stuff, I can relate to how she's feeling in different situations and stuff. Rather than Werner, who is, he's more based around war, and he has some internal struggles, but a lot of it's just because of like war and how, what he has to do and stuff like that. And I can't relate because I'm not in a war. I'm in such a privileged time right now that I can't really relate to his struggles because I can't relate to being in war. Yeah.
So my personal values about the character Bruno, he's like, in the beginning of the book, he's like a stubborn kid, doesn't, he wants to go back and like that relates to me because when I was a kid, I was stubborn, always wanting what I want and all that stuff.
Yeah. I think Bruno kind of like embodies like...
Well, because he's living in like the good side, like
exactly,
with,
yeah.
with the Germans, but they're all rich, mm-hmm. like deep in Germany, there's like, a lot of things like yeah. They're living in paradise.
And if you like want to get really deep with it, that's kind of like what we're doing right now. Like kids and like if we have younger brothers and sisters, like they got like their iPads, they get fed at 3 meals a day, sometimes more. But then you look at less privileged places, you know, like Saudi Arabia, like Yemen and stuff like
even
that.
Even people that are like living in Vancouver that are
exactly.
homeless, like you said. Like
homeless people and stuff.
The Chinatown, yeah.
Yeah.
That street full of homeless people.
Yeah, like,
scares me a lot. Oh,
like, I just went to Oppenheimer Park and it's just so weird to see just like how
yeah.
different.
You don't realize how much you have until you see someone who has less.
Exactly.
Or someone has more. Like
mm-hmm.
so yeah, no, that definitely does make a difference. In my book, I think I probably like enjoy reading Paul's portion the most because he is like the protagonist in the book. But it's interesting to see how he kind of changes over time because he starts out being a very, like, compassionate person. And then over time, he kind of struggles to, like, deal with his emotions correctly. And then there comes a point where, like, especially, like, when his mother's ill, he really lets his emotions, like, get the best of him. And I think that, like, it just changes the way that you, like, view the story because it goes from, like, being, like, traumatizing, like, war, like, descriptions to just, like, about how he... can't cut himself off from his feelings. So,
yeah.
I think I can relate to Ellie in some ways, not as like his time, but to my springtime job I had last year, where like I had to work at a nursery plant, and I was pushed to the like human limits. Like, they forced me to like, you know, move all these carts, lift up these boxes nonstop for like 9 hours a day, and my breaks were like very like limited. Didn't have much breaks, and like at the end of the day, I was like broken. I was starving for food, my muscles were sore, my knees, like, I couldn't even feel my legs, and, like, whenever I had a shower, it felt like I was being cleansed from all the work, the dirt, the hard work. Like, I felt like an actual Holocaust victim at this point. So, I think me and Ellie have some things in common, except my experience.
I get what you're saying, yeah.
My experience was...
Not the Holocaust, but you can have like
my experience was 4 days, his was 5 years.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So like that, but like 10 times worse.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
like living in
you
it.
You can like you get the like underlying, you know, like a little bit of it. A chunk.
You're like I experienced like horrific things.
Part time
like,
job.
They experienced horrific things. Like like trauma. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Like trauma that'll like stay with them for like the rest of their lives. So you think like what you experience is bad, but like then you can kind of put it in perspective and realize
like
what
theirs were worse.
Exactly,
like they
yeah.
with their
obviously,
job,
yeah.
I just like stayed out. I lived away from my trauma.
And you got paid for that. So.
Yeah.
So question 5? Yeah. What are some of the reoccurring themes of the novel? What are the hidden meaning in them? So like I kind of mentioned before in a couple of questions ago, one of the most reoccurring themes, and I think it all revolves around the radio. And so like everything, like I said, kind of goes back to the radio. So like the kind of two themes I kind of got from it was that the power of machine can either go good or it can go bad. So the ways it can go bad is that there's propaganda, there's lie spread, and like that's the way different like places can connect and stuff like that, but like in a bad way. So how they can spread information about different places they're going to hit and stuff like that. So and Werner, the character Werner, he actually starts to learn how the once loved of radio and stuff and how it can turn bad because he loves radios, he loves to fix them, but then at the camp he's at, they teach him how to fix it for bad and how to hunt down their enemies and how to kill them with it and stuff.
Oh, kind of like
yeah.
showing him the worst parts of like what he
exactly.
loves.
It's taking what he loves and like war is turning
it
into something
yeah.
that he like absolutely hates. And but then like on the good, the better side is that there's the good. So when he was young with his sister, they like I said before, they'd listen to music and they'd hear science lessons, and it's a connection between, you know, Etienne and his brother and all that stuff.
But it kind of like puts like like a negative light on the way he sees.
And all the good happened right before World War II actually started to happen. And as soon as the war kind of kicked in, that's when it started getting used for bad.
It kind of like symbolizes like what's happening in the world.
Exactly, yeah. And then, so, like, I think that the author is saying that with war arises new power of technology, but a lot of what the new technology and discoveries can be used for bad and can be used to hurt people rather than help them.
Interesting.
Yeah. So a recurring theme in my book is how Jews and Nazis are, like, similar, like, the two boys being friends, being best friends. Just because they're different doesn't mean they could be friends. They could have their differences.
But like everyone's different, but they all have something in common.
Yeah.
Something like that. Like,
it's like they're from two completely different worlds, but like when you look at it, when you take a step back, they're just two boys wanting to hang out.
Like they're no different than each other.
It's kind of like how in my book I was talking about, like he was explaining how these people are like not that much different from him. Like all the soldiers are like not that much different. They're all just people. Yeah. I think that's like the same kind of realization in the book is that we're all just people.
And if you take a step back and don't focus like on the politics and the like
and your prejudice, like, your prejudice views,
everyone's the same.
Even though we're all covered. So in my book, one of the reoccurring themes is like, well, obviously the main reoccurring theme is like anti-war. So in this time period, all the books that were written about war kind of like romanticized it and like made it seem like not like a good thing, but they kind of like showed you the best parts of war and like very like patriotic. Whereas this book, it was like really rare to see at this time book that like shone a negative light on war. And so I think that's what makes it so different. And like the anti-war theme is like the main idea of the book because he shows you like the more negative parts of the book.
Like cold hard truth.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
For the recurring in my book, the night is how the main character Ellie loses faith in his God. Cause like from the start of the book, he like kept thanking like God for all the things he has. Like, you know, he like thanks that he has a family, how like the people around him is nice, his friends are nice, his neighbor is nice. But as soon as like the war erupts and he's placed in a concentration camps, he begins to lose faith. And he keeps saying this as like, you know, like he questions how like people can do this to other people. Like how can they like beat on other people? How can they whip or like kill other people and make them do such torturous things?
Like the humanity is like lost.
Yeah.
But that like kind of shows you just like how war really does strip away everything and like even your faith slowly over time. It really makes you question things.
And it strips away like your conscience almost, like your ability to separate like your emotions from your anger, and it becomes like all one thing. Like people are kind of like brainwashed into this like state of mind that you think everyone is the enemy if they're not you.
Yeah, but on both sides too. On like the soldier side, like the Nazi side, but also on the like innocence of people who are getting hurt as well. So last question: how does the text, so like devices, word choice, and narrative, change throughout the book and the different situations your character finds themselves in? So I feel like in the beginning, with like an undertone of violence, so like as to the war's brewing, like there's always that, it always goes back to and it always has like the background of some kind of violence and like it kind of like doom arising, you know, you can like feel that tension. And as the book goes, you can kind of feel that tension kind of come to the surface more, I find. So like the word choice kind of gets more sad, honestly. It gets more like real, and it's not so naive from kids' points of view anymore, just, you know, like doing their everyday things. It goes to like kids who are losing everything and everything they once know. And from character to character, the word choice differs as well. So like Marie has a more childlike vocabulary, and that's because like she was spoiled, like she gets everything she wants. Yes, she's a blind girl with like hardships, but her dad made sure that she had everything she ever needed. Her word choice and devices are like more light and airy rather than Werner had always had to grow up. He lived in an orphanage, he had to take care of his younger sister, so he never got time to be that kid that got everything they wanted, and he had to learn to grow up. And so his word choice is really straight to the point, a little drab. He doesn't romanticize things, like you said, he doesn't fantasize or anything like that. Like, he knows the truth of everything, and it's kind of sad to see as well.
So for my book, how the text changes throughout the book is how Bruno, in the beginning, he was clueless about the war, clueless about how he didn't know his father was in the war until halfway through the book, he saw this boy, realized that he was a Jew from the death camp, and realized how...
Like, it's so different in Germany, how, like, one side of Germany is, like richness, life, and then this other side, how, like, they torture
And they're living side by side, too, so it's, like, that, like, direct contrast.
And it changes throughout by how two kids can connect with being by their family being different, how Bruno's dad is in the war with the Nazi, and the other kid is just a Jew, straight up.
Like, yeah, because he's like bullied, everything's taken away from him, he has nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know.
And he's seeing his family get taken away and killed one by one.
Like, two different classes living side by side, yeah.
And then, like, it's funny because, like, then Bruno is always complaining because, like, he had to just move. And he's like, oh, this is the worst thing that could ever happen.
Yeah.
Like, literally, right next door.
Yeah. He doesn't understand
yet. In my book, I'm, like, for this question, I mostly focus on, like, symbolism. So, on the, like, war front, there was butterflies that would frequently, like, kind of fly by. And I think it was more of, like, symbolizing... This is so, like, deep, but, like, it's, like, symbolizing, like, life, because they're, like, it can be, like, beautiful, but it's really, like, fragile, and it shows how, like, life is like that, too, and that, like, you have to be really careful with it, because these butterflies show up really frequently, like, throughout the book, so, like...
Or, like, you're saying how, like, it can still be life, even after all this,
like hope,
death,
yeah,
muddy,
exactly.
Like, dying, yeah, explosions.
After the trauma, and after all, like, the death, exactly, that there can still be, like, a life, it's just gonna be, like, very fragile.
Yeah.
Very... small amounts of it. Yeah. During, like, the start of the books, Ellie always talks about the god that the Jews worship, right? But throughout the book, he, like, mentions it less and less, as if there's nothing left. So he's, like, losing something that's part of his culture.
Yeah.
And, like,
it's, like, a part of him, too.
Yeah,
like,
so, like,
everyone's his faith is, like, a part of them and stuff, so it's kind of, like, it's taking away, his faith is taking away a part of him,
and, like,
by bit.
Continuously, he, like, sees things that makes him question why God even exists if this kind of stuff happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is the end. Are you done?
I guess we're done, yeah.
End of discussion number 3.